Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
It's like the longest week in teaching ever, because it's the week before Christmas break. I've had like four Wednesdays this week already. But I'm ready for this. Let's do this.
That's right. And before we do it, we need to mention that we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And here we go. Matt, there's
now,
a lot.
Now we can do it.
We can do it freely, and we don't have to hide it from anybody. Matt, right. There is a lot of news and notes, but before we get into the news and notes, we gotta gloat a little bit. You gotta gloat a little bit. This is your stage. This is your platform, my friend. Tell everybody about your achievement this week.
Made it. I did it. I advanced in the Scott Fishbowl X.
That is right. Putting Dynasty Dads on the map.
There are only two DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Members left in the Scott Fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I am one of them.
That's right. Oh. I'm interviewing a celebrity in a way right now. This is amazing.
I'm telling you, I'm feeling the pressure.
Oh.
I'm Matt, there.
Matt, you look cool as a cucumber.
I made the top 150. here's the catch. It goes from 150 to 15.
Yeah. Well,
like that's a pretty 90% of us are going to get cut.
So what?
And it's not going to be me, because I'm going to make top 15.
That's right.
With no running backs, zero running back works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm,
usually mm-hmm. My strategy. You've known me for years. That is not usually my strategy at all. But
no, I'm so excited for next week's show. We're gonna come on here. You're gonna be so excited. You're gonna be elated.
Conference 8 representative.
That's right. Represent. Stand up. Ugh. Conference 8. Stand up. Where are you at?
Magic 8 Ball. Hey, that one guy didn't make it though. That pod father.
No, we knew. We could have told you that months ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we knew that. We knew that.
Family stories. You got a family story?
A little family story. I mean, it's not like a specific story. I'll go ahead and I'll just tell it. My daughter has been doing this thing now. She's like really been into like acting, I guess, and like playing pretend, like, but really getting into it.
Like pretendinitis?
Like Tom Cruise level stuff. Like really just takes the role, runs with it, lives it. It's amazing. She's barely three, and she's like changing her voice with like these different characters.
Okay.
So like if she's like an evil queen or whatever, she'll just like have a deeper tone to her voice. If she's a zombie, she'll do that kind of thing with her voice and talk like a zombie. She can talk like a baby. She does baby talk. It's crazy. Just very interesting stuff. I asked my wife the other day. I said, when our son was three, I don't remember him doing anything like that. She agreed. So I don't know. I don't know if it's normal. I don't know if it's something we need to be concerned about. Are we dealing with multiple personalities here? Are we dealing with the next big actress in Hollywood? I don't know. It's one of those two. It can't be in between.
I'm trying to think of the movie where the guy has – is it Split, where they have like 15 personalities?
Yep, the dude from Split.
There you go.
Perfect. It could be that.
The remake in 30 years, 20 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
probably 20 years.
All based out of the Midwest.
That's right.
Pretty wild.
I wish I had a cool story like that.
Oh, I didn't know that was that cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Your three-year-old changes her voice and is going to be a big famous actress.
We watched The Little Mermaid tonight. The whole family sat down and watched The Little Mermaid.
I'm sorry.
A little overrated.
Yeah.
A little overrated.
They're making a live-action one.
Why? Why?
Because that's what Disney does.
Terrible.
Hey, remember this thing we did 30 years ago? Let's make it live-action now, because the kids that watched it growing up want to see it with real people.
If that's how they're going to do it, Ursula better be Kathy Bates. Nope. Kathy Bates would make a perfect Ursula.
It's not Kathy Bates.
Terrible.
It's the girl from Bridesmaids, the bigger girl.
Whoa. Hey.
That's, I don't know her name, hey. And that's a very good description because not a lot of our girl? Listeners. Yeah, what was her name?
Matt, you know, we have female listeners, and I'm willing to bet you all three of them are very offended at this point.
I guarantee you that they know exactly who I'm talking about.
I think the correct term you're looking for is plus-sized.
Okay.
Or thick, maybe thick.
Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy is Ursula.
Okay. I can get behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, not literally. Well, everything.
Anyway. Go ahead. They're making a live-action Pinocchio. They're making a live-action Peter Pan.
Terrible.
That's the thing to do.
I'm going to hate watch all three of them.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Let's see. We have started to do game night, and I have realized that your three-year-old may make a bunch of different noises, but my three-year-old has a photographic memory.
Yeah.
My three-year-old's kicking everybody in our family's butt in, like, the match game. Like, legit. Like, she'll get 12 pairs, and everyone else will have two. Like, I'm like, okay, this is going to come in handy somewhere down the line.
You hope so. Yeah. Maybe she can be, like, good at card counting, like in blackjack.
I would love to take her to Vegas. That would be fun. Hey, honey, sit next to me. What is it? What's the count?
The wife and I tried to play Battleship the other day while the kids were playing. We got, like, two guesses into it, and then she just... The three-year-old was all over us.
I thought your wife hated it.
No. The three-year-old wanted to play with it like you play with a light bright. You know what I mean? Wanted to put the red dots in there. Make it look nice. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now that's enough.
That's another terrible movie they made.
Light bright?
Battleship. No. Battleship. A light bright movie is probably coming.
Matt, it's time. We got to do this. We're off the rails already.
We're done.
We've been doing this for a couple minutes. News and notes out the wazoo. Let's start. So obviously everybody's in their playoffs at this point, depending on what kind of league format you have, but more than likely your playoffs are at least starting this week or you're a week in. And it is a bad, bad week if you're a Ronald Jones governor.
There's lots of injuries. Like I saw Jones broke his finger. I'm like, okay, he can play with the cast because I have Rojo a few places. He'll play with the cast. He'll be fine. Then freaking COVID hit.
So Ronald Jones is having a surgical operation on his broken pinky finger. By the way, Jones is having a pin inserted into his broken finger. The same procedure Chris Godwin underwent a few weeks ago. Godwin missed a game, so that seems like a reasonable expectation for Jones. You mentioned COVID. Am I missing that news? Does Rojo have COVID?
Yeah, he got put on the COVID list today. Oh.
Well, there you go.
So I thought he could play through his broken finger, but he can't play through his broken COVID. So
no one can play through broken COVID, Matt. That's a fact. Well, it's interesting.
Des Bryant could have.
It creates a really interesting situation because this is fresh off of Rojo handling 19 of 25 backfield touches with Leonard Fournette, a healthy scratch against the Vikings this past week.
A healthy scratch.
So now we healthy might scratch. See a bit of a committee between Leonard Fournette and LeSean McCoy in week 15 against the Falcons.
Wait. You're forgetting everyone's draft darling, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Draft darling is a very, very strong term.
Dude was a late first round pick in rookie drafts.
Matt, at this point in your fantasy season, at this point,
okay,
knowing what we know now,
someone who is in lots and lots of playoffs right now.
Let's say you have Fournette. You start him?
No.
LeSean McCoy?
No.
Keyshawn Vaughn?
None of the above.
I didn't think so.
I have a much sneakier play at running back, and we'll hear about it in Renegades.
James Conner has an injured quad. Conner was tremendously ineffective Sunday night against Buffalo, carrying the ball 10 times for 18 yards. No running back is going to have much upside in a Steelers offense that passes on nearly 64% of its plays.
They have to pass rate. Because Connor sucks at running.
Now, with James Connor possibly out, Benny Snell sitting at the end of the bar, 1 a.m., and I might be showing some chest hair, if you know what I'm saying.
That's how you pick people up?
It worked for the wife. Pop that chest hair out.
Sorry. Wow.
Benny Snell, worth a start?
Yeah, if you're desperate. I've got desperate running backs. But Connor has just been bad this year. He's been a letdown. No one's starting him. No one's going to start him this week. If you're desperate for Snell, you could, but I don't think Snell has that big of an upside either. That offense is a pass-first offense. And they have to be because they can't run the ball. But they got behind early in Buffalo. They had to throw the ball to get back in the game. Problem with throwing the ball is apparently everyone in Pittsburgh has the dropsies.
Dropsies. James Conner had a great start to the season, too. It's really unfortunate what's kind of happened.
And then he fell off.
Yeah.
He's a free agent.
He had 300-yard games, 100-plus yard games, excuse me, in the first six games of the season or 6 weeks of the season. Four touchdowns in that time frame. Since then, he has scored a grand total of twice. 0 100-yard games.
Pittsburgh is a popular mock draft landing spot for some of the top running backs in this year's draft. Najee Harris. Pittsburgh. Makes sense.
I thought you were going to name more.
Oh, I mean, Travis Etienne could be, but I think he'll be drafted earlier than Pittsburgh will want to take him. Pittsburgh always takes good guys in the third and the fourth round. I mean, you can look back at their drafts. They find offensive talent in that range constantly, and I think they'll do it again.
Jalen Hurts will start in Week 15 against the Cardinals. Shocker, I know.
Let's just get this out of the way because I'm sick of this guy.
Eagles head coach Doug Peterson on Sunday night pretended he hadn't made up his mind about which QB would start against Arizona. He had no choice but to roll with Hurts after he led the team to a stunning upset victory over the Saints. The rookie completed 17 of 30 passes for 167 yards and a touchdown against New Orleans, tacking on 18 carries for 106 yards. Hurts was the eighth highest scoring fantasy quarterback this past Sunday.
Yep. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Hurts threw for 160 yards. Mm-hmm. He threw for one touchdown. I believe mm-hmm. I said last week the only thing that's going to carry him is his rushing ability. And sure enough, it did.
Yeah, if I told you your quarterback was good,
I agree. I agree. My knock against Hurts isn't, he's not going to score you points. My knock is he's not going to pass. He's a running back that occasionally throws the ball to guys that occasionally catch the ball. Alshon Jeffrey caught that touchdown. Do you know how many touchdowns Alshon Jeffrey had on the year? That was his first.
I'm not saying that you're wrong per se, but I think you're being way too harsh. Way too harsh. He is not a running back that can throw the ball. He is a quarterback, and he's a mobile one. Jalen Hurts deserves to have a little bit more respect put on his name. Put some respect on that name.
No. Throw for more than 167 yards. You hit 300 yards, I'll respect you.
You try throwing to Alshon Jeffrey in 2020 and see how far it takes you.
But Travis Fulgham was there.
J.K. Dobbins rushed 13 times for 53 yards and one touchdown in the Ravens' Week 14 wins over the Browns. Following a Tyus Bowser interception in the third quarter where he was tackled at the one-yard line, Dobbins punched in the touchdown from the goal line. His 13 carries led the team over Lamar Jackson, 9, and Gus Edwards, 7, while my boy, Mark Ingram, didn't touch the ball. Dobbins wasn't targeted in the passing game, which I found surprising. Dobbins has double-digit carries in 5 of the last 6 games and has a rushing score in 3 straight. Week 15 against the Jaguars. Matt, Dobbins is definitely the running back to govern in Baltimore. There's nobody questioning that right now. But what advice would you give Mark Ingram governors?
Enjoy the show. Dude had one carry last week.
It's bad. He didn't touch the ball at all last week.
Didn't even have one carry? I thought he had one carry.
He didn't touch the ball.
Didn't even touch the ball. Even better. I hope you sold while you could.
Yeah, it's dirt cheap right now. I mean, if you're a contending team, why are you making fun of that? They were so hot at the time. Why?
Because he's not hot right now.
No player stays hot forever. If you're a contending team,
am I willing to spend a late second on Mark?
If you're a contending team,
shut up. Are you serious?
A third?
I'm not willing to give a third, and I give thirds away like they're candy on Halloween.
Do you think Mark Ingram's done?
I think Mark Ingram's done. Yes.
Oh.
If I had him anywhere, you could have him.
We're not that far removed from him being dominant.
He's over the 30-year-old. Old,
I know.
Drop off. He's 31. Yeah, he lasted longer than he was supposed to. It's okay to tell him goodbye. It's okay.
But if he lands in a situation like, I'm just saying,
like back in New Orleans
for a third, you're not going to give up a third.
You are Mr. Running Backs are a dime a dozen. Why would anyone pick up this guy and pay him more than the rookie minimum? They wouldn't. They're going to have to pay him the vet minimum. You can pick up a rookie and do the exact same thing. I can have a rookie carry the ball zero times and not have to pay him $3 million. He's done. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was going to be the one to break that news to you.
No. I'm not. I don't think he's done.
You can grab a Kleenex. It's okay.
He rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. Just saying.
Everyone in Baltimore. Okay. I think a left tackle rushed for like 400 yards last year in Baltimore.
10 touchdowns last year, 12 touchdowns in 2017. I mean, it just seems like
he's not Adrian Peterson.
I don't think anybody's saying he's Adrian Peterson. I'm just saying it just feels like maybe he's just beat up. Maybe he's just injured and it's a really tough situation in Baltimore. He's not the future there. No one thinks he's the future there. Dude's going to be 31 in 4 days.
Yeah, and he is done. There are very few running backs that make it much past 31. Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, both Hall of Famers.
Team. If I'm a contending team, I got the picks to work with. Late second, no problem. What are you going to get in
the
late second?
You're serious? You're going to trade a late second?
A 12-team league?
Justin, one's going to.
You got 210?
If I own Mark Ingram and I see a second round pick in my inbox, oh my gosh, I'm breaking my phone.
I'm not saying 2-1, 2-2, 2-3. I'm saying 2-10, 2-11, 2-12.
Any two.
Big difference.
Anything that starts with two. Thank you.
Crazy. You're crazy.
Oh, that's a poll.
Dude, he ends up getting picked up by some nice team, some team where he's just automatically the starter.
There are no teams like that, Justin. You're a Broncos fan. Would you want him as your running back one in Denver?
No, we got Melvin Ingram or Melvin Gordon. Melvin Ingram.
Melvin Ingram's probably better than Mark Ingram right now.
That's terrible.
Dude.
I'm just saying. I think that's crazy. I hate the Twitter votes, by the way, because I know how it's going to turn out, and so do you.
Well, then, okay.
It's a very specific situation.
If you're a listener and you're listening, please tweet us and tell Justin that Mark Ingram is not worth a second-round pick. And if someone offered you a second-round pick.
No, see, there you go again. See, there you go.
A late second-round pick.
No, you're missing the most important caveat of the entire conversation. If you are a contending team, a strong rostered team, and you have a late second-round pick to spend, why wouldn't you take the chance on Mark Ingram over the 24th best rookie that's going to be available in your rookie draft?
You mean like Antonio Gibson this year?
You're going to take a tight end and wait another 3 years on him as a contending team? What's that tight end going to do for you?
You know, I don't know if you know this, but Antonio Gibson was a late second. James Robinson was a third.
Right. And we see that every year, right? We see a James Robinson every year, right?
There's
going to be a third round running back that ends up being a solid first round guy all year.
There's two this year.
Dude, you're stupid sometimes. I'm serious.
Who would you rather have, Justin? James Robinson or Mark Ingram?
You're dumb. That's not the trade. That's not the conversation. Speaking of running backs, Jets coach Adam Gase said he won't bench Frank Gore this season, but I bet you if he had Mark Ingram, no one would bat an eye. Ty Johnson rushed for 104 yards against the Raiders in week 13, but Gase attributed that performance to the O-line and opponent, claiming he leaned on Gore against Seattle since it presented different challenges. Whatever that means. Gore.
Adam Gase is an idiot.
Gore, of course, did nothing, averaging 2.8 yards per carry on a backfield high, nine touches. It's been made clear that Gase doesn't prefer efficiency and explosiveness from his running backs, cementing Gore at the head of the table among that group, no matter the outcome for the rest of the year. Adam Gase is trying to lose. Head coach.
He's trying to lose games. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that he is trying to lose games.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that Daniel Jones is in doubt for Week 15 against the Browns.
You have hope, Giants fans. You have hope. He's out. You can win.
Danny Dimes is dealing with a sprained ankle in addition to his hammy injury. Clearly limited before getting pulled in the fourth quarter, Jones seems destined to miss his second game in the last 3 weeks. It's a tough blow for the Giants as they look to gain ground on Washington in the NFC East. Your boy, Colt McCoy, will make another start if Jones sits.
You're a Giants fan. Who do you want to see?
If I'm a Giants fan, right?
That's what I said. If you're a Giants fan.
I personally like Colt McCoy. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think Danny Dimes is a much better quarterback, though.
Would it shock you if the Giants drafted a quarterback this year?
Yeah. Like before round five? Yeah.
Yeah, like round one, yeah.
Oh, God.
I saw Giants fans were like, fire, fire, Jason Garrett, fire him. He's terrible. I'm like, yes, where have you been the last 10 years in the NFC East? Everyone knows Jason Garrett's terrible. Everyone laughed at you when you hired Jason Garrett. He can clap you, though.
He can clap you?
Yeah, he can clap. He claps back. If I had one, if you could pick one head coach to like follow you around and do like and walk you through the day, who are you picking? Because Garrett will clap no matter what you do. You could fall down two flights of stairs and Garrett be like, you got it. You did it. No one saw that. It's okay.
I think it'd be kind of fun to walk around like an entire day with like John Gruden. I think that'd be fun. Like every time you get in a conversation with somebody, like, or you know, whatever, he'll just jump in and be like, "Now this is a guy, man. I like this guy.
You ready, man? Are you ready for this one?" Reminds me of my grandmother.
Jarvis Landry caught 6 of 9 targets for 52 yards in the Browns' Week 14 loss to the Ravens. He also completed one pass for 12 yards.
He's perfect, 4 for 4 on the year.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
Landry's 9 targets were second on the team to Rashard Higgins, who had 10, and he went 6 for 68 and 1 on his looks. Now, Juice has 30 targets over his last 3 games and snapped his 2-game touchdown streak with this scoreless effort. Still, Landry looks to be as healthy as he's been all season right now, and rotoworld.com.
Don't you keep guessing. You keep roto-wing. I don't know what their tagline is.
Rotoworld.com is claiming that he is a wide receiver 3 for week 15 against the Giants. Very pivotal point. I feel like you have a really high floor with Jarvis Landry.
Really? Because the Giants' defense is stingy. That's a good stingy. I don't expect the Browns' offense to do what they did this past week.
Dude, the Browns look good.
The Giants' defense will shut them down. It'll be whatever the over-under. I bet the over-under is like 42. I'll take the under.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan said wide receiver Deebo Samuel will be out a while, quote-unquote. This syncs up with ESPN's Nick Wagner, probably, report that Samuel could miss the rest of the season. Samuel slammed his helmet on the bench in frustration after suffering his soft tissue issue during the first possession of Sunday's loss to Baltimore. Kendrick Bourne finished with the second most targets, 7, from Nick Mullins off the bench and is a viable deep league option in the interim. Now, Brandon Ayuk is averaging 20 points per game his last four played. Speaking of Brandon Ayuk, Pro Football Focus has him listed as their fourth highest graded rookie of the week, trailing Justin Jefferson and a couple of offensive linemen. Ayuk, name game, Matt. Are you ready?
Oh, dude, this I think I'm going to shock you. I don't know what the names are, but
Brandon Ayuk or my boy, T. Higgy.
Ayuk.
CeeDee Lamb, bye. That was a lamb. Lamb sound.
Give me CD. I'm going to homer that one.
That will take. T.Y. Hilton.
This one's simple because we're talking dynasty.
T.Y. Hilton. I think
Ayuk. Ayuk.
I thought so. I was just you got to remember, I'm picking these names up before.
I'm not.
I know
I'm
your opinion. Darius Slayton.
Ayuk. Slayton sucks. I'm so dumb with Slayton.
Get Adam Thielen.
Don't do anybody, it. Anybody that listens to the show knows. Anybody that listens to the show knows.
Adam Thielen is the wide receiver 11 in the NFL right now. Just saying.
What did he do? He's also, what, 30?
He's also consistently top 15 year in, year out. He's so 30. Go ahead.
I'm taking a Ayuk.
And don't do the 30 argument with wide receivers. Don't even try that shit with me. No. Don't even.
How old's Julio? Julio's falling.
That's your argument?
He's stumbling down that
cliff. That is your argument?
Julio Jones is 31. You're not going to get a first-round pick for Julio in any trade ever. No one's trading you a first-round pick. Not even people that think Mark Ingram are worth a late second-round pick are going to give you a first-round pick for Julio Jones.
For every wide receiver over the age of 30 that has fallen off, I can give you another one that's doing just fine.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could. If I had a list of wide receivers with their ages, absolutely. We could do this all day. That's stupid. Just because Julio Jones falls off doesn't mean that Adam Thielen's going to fall off. And by the way, they're two very, very different players.
Adam
Thielen. One sneaky athletic.
It's definitely going to fall off. But I like that you're using my terms.
The Houston Chronicle's Aaron Wilson probably reports that Texas chairman and COO Cal McNair will consult with Deshaun Watson on the team.
Can I stop you? I'm so thankful that you didn't say cool. The Houston Texan cool. Bob McNair.
So you got Cal McNair, the coup over there in Texas. They're going to go ahead and they're going to consult with Deshaun Watson on the team's next head coach. Now, Watson isn't officially on the team search committee, which I find funny that they have an actual search committee, and that's what they call it. He's not going to have the final say, but he will reportedly be a valued opinion.
He's going to have resource. The final say. He's going to have the final say. What are we talking about?
Well, here's some people might be looking at their phone right now and being like, why is this a story? Why are we listening to this? Well, this is the part I found interesting. Houston search committee, it includes McNair, team president Jamie Roots, and a group of advisors, Tony Dungy, Jimmy Johnson, R.C. Bufford, Andre Johnson, and Rod Graves.
Woohoo! There's some names there.
There are some big names in there. I was like, what the fuck are you doing here, Andre Johnson?
Why is Jimmy Johnson helping Houston?
What are you doing here? Why are you here?
R.C. Buford. we know who the next Houston Texans head coach is, right? Like, I know who the next Houston Texans head coach is.
Better be Romeo Crennel, goddammit.
Stop it. I'll break the news now if you want to break the news. I don't know if you say – you don't say in your story, so.
Go ahead.
Eric Bieniemy is going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Yeah, that's probably. Easy.
With Watson locked up through 2025, this approach is a rare win for Houston and its first true coaching search since parting ways, with Bill O'Brien following an 0-4 start. Interim head coach Romeo Crennel is going – they're expecting him to be one of the first names called up for an interview.
You give the guy a courtesy interview, absolutely. But
see how he does.
Eric Bieniemy is the guy. No doubt in my mind. Why? Like, that's the job that fits – the only other job that I think – better fits Eric Bieniemy would be the Chargers, but I don't think that one's going to be open. I think they're going to give Anthony Lynn another chance to run the clock awfully in LA.
Travis Kelce needs 127 yards over the season's final 3 weeks to break the single season tight end receiving yardage mark. Kelce, who leads the NFL in receiving yards, will break George Kittle's 2018 record of 1,377 receiving yards barring an injury. Kelce has shredded opposing secondaries this season, eclipsing 80 yards in 9 games and going over 100 yards 5 times. On Sunday against Miami, Kelce caught 8 balls for 126 yards and a score. Kelce leads the NFL in receptions of more than 20 yards. And, yeah, what do you think, Matt? Is he going to do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stop it. So. He could break it this week.
He really could.
I mean, really could. I just want to take a little victory lap, though. I said last week, Miami is going to play Kansas City tough. And they only lost by 6. And they picked off Mahomes 3 times. I don't care how many of those picks were freak tip picks or whatever people on Twitter were calling them.
Tip picks.
OBJ-level picks. That's fine. They did it 3 times.
Tip picks. Have you ever sent a tip pick, Matt, on Twitter? No. You ever slide in somebody's DMs and give them a tip pick?
No. Do people do that?
I do it
like,
all the time.
Seriously. Like, I see people talk about it, but I assume it's just like, hey,
I do it all the time. I send tip picks all over the place. I write down a tip on a piece of paper. I take a picture, send it right out. Just trying to help.
I don't do that.
Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said Gardner Minshew will start in Week 15 against the Ravens. Gardner Minshew, I choose you. Marrone previously scapegoated Minshew rather than evaluating his own flaws during the team's Week 8 bye, only to rattle off 6 consecutive losses with rookie Jake Futon Luton and Mike Glennon under center. It's admittedly an awful spot for Minshew to return. It's admittedly an awful spot for Minshew to return for against Baltimore's nightmarish defense, but he did at least conduct a scoring drive in his mop-up work over the final 23 minutes of Sunday's loss to Tennessee. Probably should be noted, Matt, Keelan Cole and DJ Shark have tied for a team high in target share, 15.4%, from Minshew this season. Is Minshew, I don't know, fantasy relevant in 2021?
No, sadly. Oh. He'll be backing up a rookie or he'll be on a new team.
Right.
Because they're going to take Justin Fields at 2. Maybe a new head coach comes in and wants to keep him around, but you can go out and get a veteran, like a more of a veteran than Gardner Minshew to kind of train a rookie.
If you're like Andy Dalton. If you're in a super flex league, what's Minshew's value?
He's worth more than Mark Ingram.
I hate you. I seen it coming a mile away.
Mark Ingram or Gardner Minshew in a 12-team Superflex league?
The Miami Herald reports that Mike Gesicki will likely miss at least 1 game. Gesicki dislocated his shoulder in Sunday's loss to the Chiefs. He didn't practice Wednesday, putting his Week 15 status in doubt. Coming off of 2 of his best games, losing Gesicki downgrades a Miami passing game that already is missing Preston Williams. Adam Shaheen, probably, and Durham Smythe, probably, will pick up Gesicki's, probably, snaps if he's out this week. So, if you have him in your lineup, make other plans.
That's exciting for me.
Oh, yeah?
I was slated to go against Gesicki a couple places.
Yeah.
So, I'm thankful that Gesicki is... Because I can't even make a joke out of that. Gone. He's not going to play. That's awesome. So,
let's see. What else we got? Cowboys EVP Stephen Jones said there will be absolutely no change on Mike McCarthy's job status as head coach of the team in 2021. There will be absolutely no change with Coach McCarthy, Jones empathetically said.
I think it's emphatically.
I said empathy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he's not empathetic.
Jones emphatically stated, and he said, he also continued the quote, "And I am surprised that somebody would question Mike and the unprecedented situation that everyone's been in. If you look at his track record and his pedigree, he's consistently won year in and year out, except for this year. We have the utmost confidence that this ship is going to be righted quickly. He's certainly a great head coach." Jones, on the other hand, would not defend any other member of the Dallas coaching staff, defensive coordinator Mike Nolan included. Matt, the Cowboys are forever mediocre. I'm sorry.
Emphatic means he said it with his chest.
Right. No, I know the difference in the words. I just misspoke.
Okay. And Mike McCarthy hasn't had a winning season in the last three years he's coached.
So he wins year in, year out.
Year in and year out. He's a proven winner. We just need someone that'll do what we tell him to do, because that's what we do. We're down here in Texas for shizzle, right? Get Mike Nolan out. I'd like to get McCarthy out, but who are you going to hire?
I don't think McCarthy's that bad. I'm not going to lie.
I don't want to be one of those fans that calls for a coach to be fired after a year. I think you should give guys time, truly. But he left a lot to be desired this year. He really did.
Give them time until they're 30. And then when they start to drop a little bit, they're gone, right?
Wide receivers, definitely.
Running backs, too. You said the same thing about two positions. Oh,
running backs. Yeah, yeah. 30s, I mean, we're over the hill in NFL standards.
Right.
Offensive linemen and quarterbacks can last for a while, but running backs and wide receivers, no.
Right.
No, would you – like, there's rumors – I don't know if we're covering this – that the Broncos could be moving on from their head coach. Would you take McCarthy in Denver?
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Absolutely, yeah.
You take Mike McCarthy's a bad head coach.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
That's kind of shocking. See if you can
sprinkle a little magic on Drew Lock and see what we can do. I'm not saying it would work, but we don't really have much to lose at this point.
No. Cowboys got hit with injuries this year. They lost Dak.
Right.
You lost your offensive line. I honestly can't think of a team that has better offensive weapons, like skill position guys, than the Cowboys. Top to bottom. The Chiefs have Kelce, Hill.
I was going to say, the Chiefs are pretty damn good.
But then who, like, they have a better tight end. They have a better wide receiver one. Wide receivers 2 and 3, I'm going to Dallas.
Sure.
With Lamb and Gallup.
Sure.
Running back is – quarterback is absolutely better. I'm not talking quarterback, though. I'm talking, like, skill – running backs, wide receivers, tight end.
I think the running backs might be better, too, across the board.
Oh, wait. I thought Tony Pollard was this great player. He was so much better than Zeke.
Who's better, Tony Pollard or Le'Veon Bell in 2020?
Tony Pollard?
Probably.
I don't know what point you're trying to make there.
No. I think there's an argument to be made that Zeke isn't as good as CEH, though.
Oh, freaking stop it. What's the next story?
Zeke's running around like he's 30.
Stop it. Zeke's like 26? He got paid. Man got paid.
Run around like he's 30. Saints head coach Sean Payton said Jameis Winston would get a chance to be the team's starting quarterback after Drew Brees retires. It's widely expected this will be Brees' final season, which could end with him sidelined with broken ribs. Womp, womp, womp. Payton said Winston, along with Taysom Hill, is going to have that opportunity to start in New Orleans the minute Drew leaves. Now, Winston came in for Brees week 10 against the Niners, completing 6 of 10 passes for 63 yards in a Saints victory. He was then replaced by Hill in week 11 against Atlanta. Matt, in a standard format dynasty league, what's the value for Winston right now? Fourth round pick? Fifth round pick? Sixth round pick?
Do you want me to say it again?
Sure.
12-team Superflex League, Mark Ingram or Jameis Winston?
Okay, for real. If it's a Superflex League, what's Jameis Winston worth?
Second.
Right now.
Second. I'm serious. I'd rather pay a late second for Jameis Winston than a late second for Mark Ingram. Hands down. Jameis Winston's 26. Probably get a starting shot somewhere next year. I think it's kind of assumptuous. I don't know if that's the right word. That Peyton says that Winston's going to get a chance to start. Winston signed a one-year deal in New Orleans, and he can leave. He can literally go anywhere else.
Right.
So, sure, he may have a chance to start in New Orleans, but he may have a chance to start in a lot of other places as well.
Right, so, yeah, that seemed like coach speak to me.
Yeah. Taysom Hill's the guy. You've seen it already. He's already proven. He signed long-term. He's getting a big payday. Like, Taysom's the starter in New Orleans next year, and Winston's probably not back in New Orleans next year.
Kind of wild. Mitchell Trubisky is the ninth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football over the past 3 weeks. Trubisky
gets a weak Vikings defense this week.
Trubisky has been a quarterback streaming revelation since taking back the Bears starting job from Nick Foles, who was abysmal through his time as a starter. He's ninth in passing yards, 776, and most importantly, second in passing touchdowns, 7, over that 3-week span. Only Aaron Rodgers has thrown more touchdowns over the past 3 weeks.
Wow. That's a dad stat. Why didn't you dad stat that?
I forgot I did it. I forgot it was a thing.
Dead stat.
Yeah, and they got Vikings this week. I mean, playoffs on the line. I'm sorry. You got to start him. You can't bench him.
Chicago, or are you talking fantasy?
I'm talking Mitchell Trubisky. Playoffs on the line, fantasy-wise, because this is a fantasy show. You're starting Mitchell Trubisky?
No, you are not.
He is a top 10 quarterback the past 3 weeks when it counts. You start him against this defense. 100% of the way. Are you kidding me?
Are you confident in starting him? 12 other quarterbacks
you're starting this week with your season on the line other than the hot, red hot Mitchell Trubisky. Red hot. Fire. He ain't 30, so you can't use that excuse. What do you got?
He's not 30, but he's awful. He's been hot. Throwing the ball to
Allen Robinson. He has been carrying him.
And Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet. Rookie tight end of the year. Cole Kmet. I picked him.
Or did you pick Cole Kmet?
You picked Cole Kmet?
You picked Adam Trautman.
I got super excited because I thought I picked
him. Now you can act like you're not excited. Go ahead.
I am.
Now you can act like it's no big deal. Go ahead.
No, Cole Kmet is the tight end in Chicago to own. You're probably starting him in a super flex league.
No, Matt. I'm not
starting him in a one quarterback league. No way. You know why? Because the teams that are in the playoffs got there without him. I guarantee it. No one is starting Mitch Trubisky as a one quarterback league in the playoffs. No one. Trubisky wasn't on that team.
You might have had someone with, you know, doing the whole streaming quarterback thing, making something work. I doubt anybody got there riding Danny Dimes, but
I can think of 12 quarterbacks that I would rather have than Mitch Trubisky this week. And one of them is Jalen Hurts.
The hate is so vile today with you. Blah. I don't understand it.
You know what? You're going to find out later. I like guys that play out of position, and Jalen Hurts is one of them. So
I think that's crazy. By the way, it should be noted, ESPN has Mitchell Trubisky projected to get you about 17 points, which is right there at about QB 14, QB 15, just a point below Jalen Hurts. So should be noted.
I'd rather have Jalen Hurts. That hurts to say.
Sure. I'm sure it does. Matt, I got one more story, then we'll play Who the Realist, and I'll let you go ahead and spew your BS about Renegades.
Okay. We doing hot takes today or no?
Yeah, we can run through them.
Or is that next week? Because next week's over. It's mostly us
just saying we're wrong.
That's not true. Keenan Allen.
Devontae Parker has a slight hammy strain and is uncertain for his week. Go ahead.
I thought you were talking Derrick Henry.
We can do both. Screw it.
Okay.
Devontae Parker has a slight hamstring strain and is uncertain for this week's game against the Patriots. Parker left Week 14's game against Kansas City in the first quarter, and he did not return. His absence, along with Jakeem Grant leaving the game with a hammy injury, opened up snaps and targets for rookie wide receiver Lynn Bowden Jr. Now, Bowden led the Dolphins with 9 targets against KC. Bowden has functioned as the team's primary slot receiver of late. He would be an intriguing Week 15 flex option if Parker or Grant are inactive against New England. Miami wide receivers coach Josh Grizzard, which is a great name, by the way, said Tuesday that Bowden now has a grasp on the entire playbook, which might have something to do with his increased usage. Matt, our friends over on the FinSider, a SBN Nation website, say that the Dolphins may have found a gem in Lynn Bowden Jr. What say you?
I wish you wouldn't have done the story. Should just let me have the spotlight on this man in Renegades.
Okay, we'll move on.
No, I'll go into it now a little bit. Lynn Bowden qualifies as a running back.
Right.
On lots of formats, and the dude plays wide receiver. That's a cheat code in fantasy. And I will absolutely start him in my running back slot as a wide receiver, especially if Parker and Grant are out.
Okay, so you say especially if. So you're willing to start him if Parker and Grant are playing.
If Parker and Grant are out.
Okay. So if they're both playing, you don't want anything to do with Bowden.
If one is out and one is playing, I think I'm still okay. If both are playing, I'm out on him. No, I won't be playing him. I picked him up with Scott Fishbowl. I need a running back, and that's a cheat code. So,
just as a reminder, Bowden was a third-round rookie by the Raiders this offseason. So,
and they traded him for a fourth-round pick.
They did all right. But it might look really bad in the future.
Let's hear about King Henry.
Derrick Henry needs to average 156 rushing yards per game over the season's final 3 weeks to eclipse 2,000 yards on the year. On Sunday against Jacksonville, Henry became the first player in NFL history with four career games of at least 200 rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns. His demolition of the Jaguars leaves Henry as one of seven running backs in league history with more than 1,500 rushing yards and 14 or more touchdowns through 13 games. Head coach Mike Vrabel rested Henry in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, he might have cracked 300 yards. Henry's chance to become the eighth player to eclipse 2,000 yards on the ground could be fantastic for fantasy managers in the season's final weeks. Vrabel will almost certainly feed Henry, even in lopsided games, to get him across the historic yardage milestone. Henry just so happens to play three of the league's worst run defenses over the next 3 weeks: Detroit in week 15, Green Bay in week 16, and Houston in 17. He has a real shot to set the single season rushing yardage record, 2,105 yards, held by Eric Dickerson for 36 years. Matt, it wasn't that long ago when we were poo-pooing Derrick Henry a couple years ago. It's amazing to see how quickly this has turned around for him.
But he's almost 30.
Oh, my God.
Okay, from now on, from December 16th, 2020, till the end of their careers, who would you rather have, Derrick Henry or Zeke?
It's Derrick Henry. It's not close. Wow. It's Derrick Henry.
Wow, I'm Owen Wilson in it right now.
Wow. Did you ever see that compilation of Owen Wilson saying absolutely nothing but wow? Have you ever seen that?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Wow.
So good. Wow.
All right, let's play Who to Realist.
Who to Realist, Matt. All season highs and lows, by the way. That's a kind of a new rule I'm putting on it.
All right.
AJ Green's 18 fantasy points this week or Corey Davis's 4?
Oh. Neither.
My boy, AJ Green, coming through in the clutch when nobody AJ wants Green. It.
No. What's more real? Gross.
What's more Neither. Real? You got to pick one that's not an option.
Corey Davis is 4 because Corey Davis has had a terrible career until this year.
Cam Akers, 170 yards on the ground, or Travion Williams, 15 touches?
Cam Akers. That's easy.
You think Cam Akers
is 170
yards is something that we might see again?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Cam Akers is the guy in LA.
Okay. Okay. How about Tua's 300 plus yards through the air, or Lynn Bowden Jr.'s 82 yards receiving?
Oh, this is like leads perfectly into Renegades, but I'm gonna pick Tua because it's Tua time. Tua is gonna be a top 10 quarterback next year.
There we go. Renegade time.
Well, let's recap. Adam Gase sucks. Ty Johnson, 8 rushing attempts, 16 yards. Yay. Thanks, Adam Gase. But my win of the week last week was Chad Hansen, 7 receptions, 56 yards, 12 points from a guy that was owned in less than 10% of leagues. This week, we've already talked about both these guys. Lynn Bowden up first. He's rostered in 24% of leagues. Bowden didn't take a single snap in the backfield on Sunday, but don't tell anybody that because he still has running back eligibility. So, he led the entire team in routes run, 51, catches, 7, and receiving yards, 82, even mixing in a time or two under center as his record-setting campaign with the Wildcats. Devontae Parker, Gesicki, and Jakeem Grant all could be out. Bowden is going to soak up team high in targets against the Patriots. And he's my guy. He's 24. I mean, he's available in a ton of leagues. Go pick him up. Cheat code him. Put him in your running back slot, especially if you're like me and you're in the Scott Fishbowl Finals and you need to start two running backs and your best running back has been Nyheim Hines all year. Second one, this is your boy, which I thought was my boy, but is yours. Cole Kmet, rostered in 35% of leagues. Kmet once again led the tight end room and routes run and got seven targets in back-to-back games. Jimmy Graham can be ignored completely. Kmet is going to be the guy in Chicago, and he's got great matchups against the Vikings, Jaguars, and Packers to close out the year. Go pick up Cole Kmet while you can.
All right. There you have it. I hope Cole Kmet does something, man. I really do. He's so hard for tight ends right now.
Is it? Like, next year we're looking at year three for Noah Fant and Hawkinson and Gesicki. Like, those are breakout years for those guys. Mm-hmm. And Hawkinson kind of already broke out this year. Gesicki's had two huge games. Tight ends just take a little while. The tightest of ends.
The tightest of ends. That's right. All right, Matt. It's the most depressing segment of the show.
The end?
The hot takes.
Everyone's – oh, we're doing the hot takes. Okay.
We're doing it. We didn't do it last week. You gotta do it this week.
All right.
So I said that J.K. Dobbins was going to finish the season as the running back three or worse in Baltimore, and – currently, Dobbins is the RB1. You know, I like how you're laughing. We haven't gotten to yours yet. Dobbins is the running back one in Baltimore, followed by Gus, and then a distant Ingram at this point.
Who's worth a second?
I hope he lands in such a great spot.
This title of this episode,
Mark Ingram is scary.
The title of this episode is Mark Ingram is worth what?
That's a good one. I'll do that one. Let's see. We got Ryan Tannehill is currently ranked. I said he was going to be the top five quarterback. He is currently QB7.
So this is a win for you. I don't care if it's top five. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah. He was ranked as the QB 22nd or 22 according to DTC, DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That was intense. I said that no Detroit or Washington running back was going to finish as the top 20 of their position. Boy, was that wrong. Antonio Gibson is currently the RB10 overall. DeAndre Swift is the RB22, and JD McKissick is RB25. Crazy.
I remember saying Washington's a running back by committee, and look, there's two top 25 running backs there.
I said that N'Keal Harry outscores Julian Edelman in PPR leagues in 2020. Currently, Harry does lead, but only by a small margin. Neither of them look good. Well, Julian Edelman's been injured. But
this is a limp to the finish line.
Yeah. I said that Jonnu Smith was going to be a top 8 tight end. He's currently tight end 12. I also said Rob Gronkowski was going to finish outside the top 25. He is tight end 10.
All right, mine. I said Gurley would finish as a top 10 running back. He's RB19. He's had a few top 10 weeks, but he's not going to finish there. Said Phillip Rivers finishes as a QB1. He's being drafted as QB32. I want to say, when you laughed at this like weeks ago, he was QB28. He's QB19, and he's got some matchups that I like coming up.
Yeah, but he's over 30. He's going to fall off here.
Quarterbacks don't count. I said that. Okay. Especially ones that have 15 children.
Gotcha.
Antonio Gibson finishes outside the top 36, so he's not a running back three. He's RB10, but he's probably not going to play the rest of the year, so there's a chance.
That doesn't count.
There's a chance.
That's an L. No, that's an L. We've talked about this before. That's an L.
Keenan Allen finishes as a wide receiver one. Yet again, dude is wide receiver five right now. Killed it. Dawson Knox finishes as a top 12 tight end. Right now is tight end 44. 3 weeks ago was tight end 62. So he's climbing. He's trying to race all the way to the 12th. Last but not least, killed this one. Nailed it. There's no way I'd take a loss on this. Ronald Jones finishes better than Leonard Fournette, and Ronald Jones has doubled Fournette's production this year.
Matt, we went ahead and we also picked out our rookie finishers, our top rookie finishers. You and I both picked Joe Burrow to be the top quarterback. That's not going to happen. It's Herbie Herbert, who was also the QB9 overall, by the way. At running back, I picked Jonathan Taylor. You picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire. James Robinson's going to run away with this one as the running back 4 overall at this point. Wide receiver, I picked Justin Jefferson. You took Jalen Reagor. Justin Jefferson is your top rookie wide receiver at this point in the season, and wide receiver 9 overall. Top 10 wide receiver. Crazy.
You're going to hit 2, huh?
At tight end, I picked Cole Kmet. You picked Adam Trautman. Kmet is tight end 42, Trautman tight end 57. Fairly irrelevant for fantasy purposes, but we'll see how that blows over.
You're going 2 for 4, and I'm going 0 for.
Womp, womp, womp. There you have it. There you have it. That's the show, Matthew. We're done here. We are done here. I'm going to go ahead and do the whole Wolverine meme thing, grab a picture of Mark Ingram, lay on my bed, and just stare at it, rub its face.
Mark Ingram's worth what?
Face.
Oh, big trust, Justin. Big trust.
Hey, man. Just saying, a motivated Mark Ingram next year. Whew. Whew. We're going to tackle that guy.
He'll be a really good running backs coach for some community college.
You're a dick. All right. Well, that does it. If you want to go ahead and tell me how crazy I am for my love of Mark Ingram, be sure to tweet at us. We are at Dynasty Dads. If you want to wish Matt good luck or
bad luck, fortune,
whatever you want to do, you can also do it there. And that's it. That's the show. So special thanks to DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
We'll catch y'all next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.